listen, think, learn, grow. Listen, think, learn, grow. Live.
This is Metaphysical Universe, exploring science and spirituality with Dr. Douglas Kelly and Dr. Vicki Hunter.
We're seeing a lot of no sounds in the chat room. Still nothing? Okay. You can hear me, but I don't think they can hear me. Oh. Okay.
can they hear you?
Jeff says yes.
Okay, Tracy
Dr.
says
Tabitha
can hear me
says
now.
Yes.
I turned off temporarily to talk to them off air while we were getting everything going, but everybody's on live now.
All right, okay. So they probably missed the principles of belief.
It's not right around there,
all right. We don't have to do it again.
Okie dokie. Oh, what? You know I'm going to read those again? All right.
Okay.
Very good. So, as I was about to say, before I was so rudely interrupted with no sound, the topic for tonight is basically dealing with and managing fear. And we've talked about this, I don't know how long ago, I was going to check, but I didn't. It's probably been 2 or 3 years ago, perhaps, that we talked about fear. So we're going to talk about fear, and Michael is going to start us off on that topic.
Well, it's such a broad topic, it's hard to know where to start on it, but the reason that it feels almost imperative to talk about it now because it's permeating a lot of the discussions, not even just in this country, but all over the world in terms of, a lot of fear-based movements being used to control people's behaviors, one way to put it. But the bottom line is fear is a driving emotion, and it's something that we need to watch for. It's something we need to be careful of and how we let it, or not letting it, drive our decision-making. Because when we are using that kind of irrational emotion, that fear, when we think about what could happen, you know, it makes it all too easy for some people to turn towards hate, to turn towards anger, to say, I'm afraid, I'm scared, it's not even really a thought process, is it? It's a base emotion that spawns another very powerful emotion. And all too often, that emotion that it spawns is anger and hatred. And it's done because it's all too convenient to label the other as the cause of all of your fear and your anxiety. To say, well, if we take that out of the equation, it's going to fix everything. Because that makes you feel better and that makes the fear go away. And so that is a tool used by many, including a lot of the older religions. And it's a tactic used to really get people to behave in a way they wouldn't otherwise. Because their safety is at risk. Because the other is a risk.
Well, fear has been used by governments and by religions to control people. I mean, if you want to control people, you introduce fear. And there's tons of fear involved in both. There's no question about religion. I mean, they've got all kinds of things to make you afraid, you know, to give you sleepless nights, you know. And then there's the governments of today, you know, there's politics. People are afraid of who's elected for president or who's elected to this or that. You know, people are afraid. I mean, I remember, 9 years or so ago when Obama was elected, you know, and that's when ammo became in short supply because, you know, they were convinced that he was just going to turn the government into a dictatorship or whatever. You know, it never came to pass, and he was one of the best presidents ever. And, you know, and then along comes Trump, and people are afraid. You know, some people are just angry, but as you talked about it, you know, a lot of times that anger stems from fear. And I suppose that, you know, I mean, those are broad. I'm painting with a broad brush here, but let's zero in a little bit on fear. Everybody has fears. You know, it's just common to people. And I have this notion that we don't really have to live in fear per se. You know, a lot of people have all kinds of fears, paranoias, whatever. I don't think we have to live in fear. And I think a lot of the fears that we have are self-induced. They're due to worry. They're due to negative thinking. You know, and I like the way Ziegler put it. I don't know if he originally coined this, but that's where I heard it. You know, the acronym FEAR, fear, stands for false evidence appearing real. And so often that nails our own fears in life, false evidence appearing real. And we will imagine the worst case scenario. That only causes worry, and that's, of course, directly linked to fear. Any thoughts?
Well, I was just thinking that, you know, if you sit back and really review your life's decisions, so many of the worst things or the worst courses of action came about because of a fearful, that fear that spawned a reactive emotion. So you overreact too often. And it turns out there was nothing to be afraid of anyway. It was all, like you said, self, you know, was manufactured. Mm-hmm. And how often are you fine until somebody tells you that you should be afraid?
Well, we call those fear mongers.
I mean, it's very hard to watch TV without, I mean, oh, all the diseases I had no idea I had, but the symptoms are just perfect.
And you know, speaking of that, and this is just a side point, okay? This is something I've noticed. I watch a lot of documentaries, and I really enjoy the space ones, you know, and different ones about the solar system, about space, about the cosmos and all that. And a lot of times, you know, the theme of their documentaries are, you know, how the universe is going to end, or how the solar system will end, or how the sun will end. I'm thinking, don't you guys have something better to talk about? I mean, yeah, we all get entropy, okay? Everything's going to end, but let's not focus on it. And I don't like even watching them, and I won't, because I'm tired of that. You know, I grew up with Armageddon just around the corner, and, you know, everybody was going to die at Armageddon unless you were a witness, then Jehovah's Witness, and then you weren't, probably, maybe. But, you know, there's the fear again, that, you know, that everything's fear-based to control people. And so one of the things that I just don't do, I don't do doomsday prophecies. I don't buy into them under any circumstances. You know, what is, and what happens, happens. You know, is Yellowstone going to blow up? I don't know. You know, is the sun going to go supernova in 5 billion years? Probably, but I probably won't be here. But somebody will, but by that time we'll be moved off planet, right? So the thing is that what is. And it takes a lot of emotional resources to worry about the future. And, you know, worry is just the misuse of your imagination. That's not I didn't create that quote. That's not my quote. I forget who said it, but it might have been Mark Twain. Or I think he said, I've had a lot of troubles and worries in my life, most of which never happened. You know, and that sizes it up. You know, we can worry about a lot of stuff, but one of the driving forces behind fear and worry is the desire to control things that we can't control. So we have to really assess what we're afraid of, what causes fear, and what we worry about. We can't, you know, the future will be. We can make better decisions today, have a better future, and that's what we want to do. Dr. Hunter, you've been rather quiet.
Well, I'm listening. See, I come from a position where I don't think fear is a bad thing. So, but there's
wasn't this supposed to be your night off?
Well, there's two kinds of fear.
Get the memo,
right?
Did you?
there's a self-created fear and there's instinctual fear, and we all have fear for a reason. And I don't think it's a bad thing. It's like warning of danger.
Well, instinctual fear is not a bad thing, but we're not talking so much about that. But we can.
But this is where I'm saying the There's two kinds of fear, and I'm just saying that one kind of fear is not a bad thing. Another kind of fear is what we conjure and what we amplify in our minds as a potential with no real basis, grounds, or education about why we should be afraid. See? So when we're living daily life, even if we're listening to the news, if we're listening to our instincts rather than the emotion of it, our instincts would say that's over-amplified or that's magnified or that's out of proportion or that's a fear-mongering. So if you come from that place of learning instinctual fear and understanding your own intuition, your own instincts, then you can discern what's fabricated or what's a way that's kind of trying to seduce us into a behavior that we wouldn't otherwise participate in. So that's where I come from. I come from just this, I'm watching and I observe. And because I deal with a lot of people who deal with fears, I feel I have to kind of know what they're afraid of so that I can educate and give them another point of view saying, well, my instincts about this are, or my intuition about that is, and there's another way to see it. And it's no different than dealing with somebody who is having racist experiences. That's not a fabricated fear. That's a reality. But it carries with somebody. So how do we then learn about the instinctual fear to know when is a real situation versus the alarm bells that are always going off because you have that experience every day of your life? It's no different than somebody who's in an abusive relationship. You think you're going to get hit all the time, but you're not.
We're going to have fears, and that's really not the only thing you can do about that is to leave the relationship.
Yeah, but it's just that you live in the fear amplifies, and if you have good, sharp instincts, if you really get down to your core and you ask your intuition, what is happening here? And I'll tell you, that saved me from an abusive relationship. And, I mean, it saved me from getting killed, knowing when to reach deep inside to say, no, I have to, never mind all this other stuff, I have to reach into my instincts. And knowing, just being one step ahead of it so that I could move forward and get out of there. But I think what we are, and where Michael's coming from and where you're coming from, is that we're in a time of fear-mongering where everybody wants attention. And the way they do that is through fear. And I think this is where if each of us can just calm down and educate ourselves, is this something that I need to be afraid of? Or is this something that those goofballs are just shooting their mouths off about? Do you know? And I think because whatever is going on in the world does affect us, even by energy and vibration. So we get pockets of subcultures and pockets of people and, you know, so how are you going to walk your life? And it's not just about trying to stay safe all the time. It's about how do we learn to deal with it? And learning to deal with it is reaching deep inside and saying, my intuition says this or my instinct says this. So that's when I think that fear is our friend, provided we understand ourselves better.
And we act on it, you know, accordingly, and that the fears are not manufactured by us. Now, going back to the example of an abusive relationship, there's no need to live in that kind of fear. And that's one of the things I was trying to talk about, or I was trying to mention, and that's what I meant earlier when I said, I don't think we have to really live in fear per se. You know, those kinds of fears, the ones that we can control, we don't have to live in those fears. And it takes a lot of emotional resources to do that. So if you find yourself living in that kind of a situation where you're in fear because of somebody else, well, that's a huge red flag to get out of that relationship, no matter who it's with, period, end of subject. Now let's kind of move back over to some of those fears that we create or that we find ourselves in. For example, there's fear of applying for a particular job. There's a fear of making sales calls, you know, call reluctance is a fear-based thing. And a lot of that's rooted in them esteem as well. So there's a lot of fears that we can have and we're not talking about the instinctual fears because those tell us something. It's like pain. Pain tells you something is wrong and you need to address it. Well, those instinctual fears do the same thing. But the non-instinctual fears, the fears that we have, you know, that we conjure up in life. You know, I think it was Susan Jeffers who wrote the book, Feel the Fear and Do It Anyway. And so when it comes to certain things in life, we may lack a little bit of confidence, but one of the things I've noticed about many successful people is they didn't know they couldn't do it, so they went out and did it. Oh, maybe they were afraid, but you know, some of them, frankly, some of the business people I've observed over the decades, I'm not sure they were smart enough to be afraid of it. And you know, and I guess that worked for them because they went out and did it anyway. And so, you know, and I'll tell you right now, if you're a very conscientious person, you're probably going to battle this a little more. Any thoughts, Michael?
Well, that last point is exceedingly true. I can speak from personal experience. But I'll say that, first off, to Dr. Hunter's earlier points, I absolutely agree wholeheartedly. And I think that's an important clarification to make because every human emotion has its place and has a vital purpose. Fear included. And there's a lot of different ways to look at it. One of the things I was thinking about was an article I read that people that are anxious, that tend to deal with anxiety throughout their lives, often, not always, but oftentimes are more successful in their careers. They also have better memories than people that don't feel regular anxiety. So it makes you wonder, does it actually serve that, you know, evolutionary purpose, if you're going to come at it from that direction? But you're absolutely right in the sense that we should be, we have the world that we want to build, and we will pursue that, and we need to be mindful and conscientious of things that, that we need to be aware of. And that comes into your personal life, too.
I'd like to read a portion of an assignment we received in the last day or so from Course M1 at IMHS by a student who we'll call John. That's pretty, it's not his real name. But he made some good points, and I really felt he articulated it well. And this is what he wrote, it has to do with worry and all that. But he says, life is truly fleeting, and I choose happiness over fear while appreciating the delightful things in life. My worry list was indeed long. My health, my family, my children's future, the economy, the environment, my security, all of it was meant for me to occupy my mind here and now as an excuse to avoid living. I understand now that the key word here is present moment. Worry, then, is a technique that I have created in order to use up the now moment of my life rather than choosing to use these precious present moments living a fully functioning happy life. Everything that had ever happened to me did not happen in the past. It happened in the present moment. And everything that will ever happen to me will not occur in the future. It will take place in the now as well. So every moment I like to spend in worry is my way of using up my nows by not being fully present in my life. I will no longer sit around and think about things in the future and remain inactive. I refuse to occupy the precious present moments of my life and set aside futile mental activity. I thought that was well stated. And it gives some good food for thought, really. You know, nothing happens in the past, nothing will happen in the future, it all happens in the present, in this moment. And so we want to choose our thoughts. We want to choose what things we'll think about or entertain in this present moment. It's I think it's a great concept.
You know, what I did every... Sorry, do you have something to say? Go ahead, Michael.
It's just all about taking your power and taking control.
Yeah, good point.
When I was about 20 and I really started to dig deep, you know, my self-work, Every year on my birthday, I would project for conquering a fear that I had. Fear of other people, or a fear of water, a fear of, you know, whatever it was that was coming. And sure enough, that year, there would be a presentation of, you know, with a situation that I could say, oh, this is the fear I wanted to conquer. I'm going to do this. So it would be challenging myself and, you know, very slowly. By the time I was about 35, I said, well, I don't know what fears I have anymore. So I said, you know, if I have any fears that I don't know about, bring them on, because I want to be more whole. I want to know about what my intuitions are without emotional attachment. I want to know what my instincts are without, you know, all this other mental stuff. I want to know. Well, I'll tell you, that year I found a whole bunch of fears I didn't know I had. But the beauty of that is coming out the other side is to feel more intact. And so when I talk about fears, I guess my point is, yeah, the world's all fearful. They're just going to sling that caca stuff all over the place. But it's when you know who you are. And it's just, you know, Fran said it in the chat, fear based on belief can be altered through self-examination and education. Thank you for that, Fran. That's really well said. So it's sometimes we do have to tackle a specific fear. It's not just about throw all the caution to the wind, say, oh, I'm going to be in the here now, unless we're willing to challenge ourselves to say, oh, there's another fear. I can move through that. I got this. You know, and each one, sometimes it's a little at a time. Sometimes you can take it on in big scopes when you're ready. But it's truly about understanding who you are, and that we have anger as a part of our human makeup. We have fear as a part of the human condition. And those are indicators that we rely on. You know, Heather was sharing a story in the chat room about, you know, she was presented with a situation and she was just having all this anxiety until she, whoa, just wait a minute. And she took a breath, she trusted her instincts and she felt better. Because fear was her indicator. It wasn't just this nice, oh, I think I shouldn't do this. It's like a real gripping, whoa, I'm having an anxiety, something's wrong. That's what I wanted to be able to trust in myself really well. And so that, and even doing readings for people and counseling, I, you know, when I've conquered my own demons or my own stuff, yours are nothing.
So, you know, that's right.
And it's true. So it's, if you want to be in the service business, you want to be in the helping business, if you don't know who you are, you're not going to be able to be very helpful, because you can only give away what you have. And if you have that, you know, that self-knowing and no fear and not afraid of yourself. But I got to tell you, sometimes I am afraid of myself. It's like, I think this guy shouldn't push me. And it's not because I'm afraid of him. It's because I'm afraid of what I could do to him. and even by my words, you know, so I have to, there's always in these situations, you know, faced with fear of any kind or anger, I ask myself just a couple of really simple questions. What do I hope to achieve by doing this? And what's the best way I can serve a good outcome?
Good.
And once I ask myself those questions, the fear just, it dissipates.
Yep.
So it's about ways to redirect fear. So it is, I know some people don't like to watch news and stuff. I like to glean over it, know what's going on in the world. I, you know, tend to be a little active in some things and causes, but I also check in with myself to say, okay, if I do this, what do I hope to achieve? How can I best serve this cause? How can my voice lend to it in a good way? And if I can't answer those things with a really good thing, it just means that I'm PO'd and, oh, I'll get over it, you know, and it, and just set it aside. So it's just the journey of learning. Now, all the fear mongering out there, the more the other people are angry and fearful, honestly, the more I calm down. When people are very anxious around me, you got to balance the energy. I go calm. Because somebody's got to do the thinking here.
That's the thing. You can't think when you're emotionally charged.
That's right.
So, all right. We're going to wrap this topic up here in a sec, but I'd like to put it out there if anybody would like a card pulled from our Inner Oracle card deck. Put your name in the chat room. And I'd just like to some concluding thoughts from on my part is, you know, if you're feeling fear for moving ahead in your dreams, your objectives, your career objectives, whatever, you know, feel the fear and do it anyway. When you do what you fear most, you control fear. And so you've got to push forward because, you don't want to get to your deathbed and have a bad case of what it could have, should have, if only it might have been. And a lot of the things that we fear now, we look back, in future years, we'll look back and say, wow, what was I even afraid of? I mean, I've grown so far beyond that point. I had nothing to fear, and yet I was afraid. So you have to assume that that's where you're at now. If you're afraid of something, go after it. What's the worst can happen? You know, if it's a job, they can say no. You know, the worst that can happen if you're going to start a practice of some sort or a business, you know, the worst that can happen is it just won't fly. But you will come out of that far more experienced and knowledgeable, and the next time it will work. And so you have to look at the benefits, the trade-offs for those things. You always get things in return. So don't live in fear. You know, if you're in a bad relationship and it causes you fear, get out of it. And I don't care what kind of relationship. It could be a business, a work relationship. It could be an intimate relationship, whatever. But, and like Dr. Hunter was saying in mentioning Heather, you know, when you are thinking of doing something and you get a bad feeling, you know, or you have a little fear, anxiety, whatever, well, that's a red flag. That's, you know, your higher self telling you, hey, maybe you ought to look at this thing twice and maybe not do it. So learn to recognize the signs of fear, and don't forget that most of the fears that we feel are false evidence appearing real. Michael, any concluding thoughts?
Well, I will say that that acronym has been one of my favorite in life when dealing with fear. And I'll say that we are not affected by reality, we are affected by our perceptions of reality. And it's important to be judicious and careful about our sources of information. Stay informed about the world around you. And maybe even taking that extra time to delve into a topic deeper is going to provide greater understanding, which will keep reactive, unhealthy fear at bay. You'll understand the situation. You'll be able to reflect on it, think about how you can be part of the solution, think about how we can move forward, and keep everything in balance.
All right, good points. All right, so let's switch gears now, and we'll pull some cards from the Inner Oracle card deck. It looks like the first one is Fran.
I pulled one for Fran.
Good.
And Fran, you've got number 8, Balance in Order. With this card, balance and order in life or in a specific area is present or it needs to be. If experiencing adversity, look for what's out of its proper order. Adversity is a state of disorder. Once order is restored, adversity fades. Moreover, self-completeness and success will ensue once order and balance are restored to the life leadership paragon areas of self-acceptance, self-responsibility, and respect for free will.
That fits right in with our discussion, because adversity is simply a state of disorder. And when we're in the middle of adversity, what do? We have fears, right? We fear this, we fear that. So that's another good point for dealing with fears, is if you've got adversity around you, you just need to learn the spiritual lesson contained in that circumstance, because then it will pass. And frankly, adversity, again, is just a state of disorder. You put things back in their proper order, the adversity goes away, and you end up taking more of your power back. So, excellent card.
Maybe you'd like to choose one for Jeff, Michael.
Of course. And Jeff, I pulled wild card number 7, Hope.
Oh, I like it.
Perfect counterpart.
Yeah. Amazing how that works.
Pulled from the middle of the deck, too, and I cut the deck. So, hope lives deep within and inspires the human spirit to continue and expand. Hope, in and of itself, does not create life. Rather, hope desires life. Hope is the root of curiosity, interest, invention, and yearning for more. Even when all feels lost and futile, hope is resurrected by a change of beliefs and core values. Safeguard your hope, for it is the first and last failsafe of your existence. Do not promote false hope, nor encourage codependent hope.
Good. So, you know, there's hope. You know, if we're fearful of something, we can have hope that we just need to get past it. Again, learn the lesson, put things back in the proper order. Remember that fear is just false evidence appearing real.
Well, now, I chose one for Dr. Tabitha, number 45, which is inspiration and motivation. Inspiration and motivation come from hope. I love that. Motivation means finding a meaningful reason to do something. Look within for inspiration leading to motivation by reflecting on your goals and the life you want to live. Drive and accomplishment may be missing from your life, or your life may revolve too heavily around it. Remain balanced, inspired, and motivated with the vigor of positive energy. So that's a good card, Dr. Tabitha. So inspiration and motivation, they come from hope.
That's good.
We have Edward is next. Michael, if you would like to...
Absolutely, and actually, thanks. Took the liberty of pulling a card. It's number 18, Evolution.
Evolution
is the driving force of all life. Change is always afoot. Be aware and participate in the evolution of present energies that change situations. Resistance to change is born from fear of losing control. Resistance to change prolongs discomfort. But fear not, personal growth and enlightenment are sure to result in the wake of your own evolution and that of life around you. Thus, entropy is lowered.
You know, how much better could that fit in with our discussion? And, you know, tell me that there's not something going on with this, you know, with global consciousness, collective consciousness, and these cards being pulled that all reinforce the theme that we've been talking about. You know, we've kind of dialed in. I mean, it's really amazing. And so, you know, if you have fears, you know, you're not smart enough, you're not this enough, that enough, let them go. Release those fears. You know, visualize your hand holding a bunch of fears and just open your hand and let them go. And, you know, things will, you'll evolve. That's what evolution is about. Every one of our programs is about evolution, but it's about not living in fear. It takes too much energy, folks, to live in fear. So some good points here. And anyway, so it doesn't look like there's anybody else who would like a card. So, you know, we've talked about fear in depth, a lot of good points, balance and order, hope, inspiration, motivation, and evolution. And, you know, these are the things that we need to keep us fueled, you know, to keep us going. I mean, every week we talk about these points, and we may know them, but we need to be reminded of them. I need to be reminded of them. So we appreciate everybody's attention tonight. Thanks for joining in. Thanks to those of you who are listening to the archives. We appreciate it. And if you have a topic you would like to hear discussed in this program, please don't hesitate to email us, admin@icmhchurch.org. Or if you're a student, you can just send it to whatever email you're using to contact us. It all comes to the same place. So, again, thanks, everyone. Thanks to Dr. Hunter. Thanks to Michael. Until next week, listen, think, learn, grow, and live. Good night.
Good night, everyone.
Good night, everybody.